friends, I'm turning this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And I read the first two verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And this morning we are going to think about the conversion of Saul. This dramatic conversion, some call it a doubtful conversion, that a man like Paul can be converted to become such a saint. So our title this morning is the wonders of conversion. The wonders of conversion. And this is for both believers and unbelievers. For both believers and unbelievers. Believers because it helps us to examine ourselves, to examine our relationship with God. And to the unbeliever, is to let you know that no one is beyond conversion. No matter how sinful you are, the Lord can save you. Many a times, we think that we must be perfect before we can come to Christ. Many, many people think that they must be able to stop their sins, especially the well-known sins, before they can come to God. But it's never like that. Then you will never come. Because no one can on their own stop sinning. No human being on earth can on their own stop sinning. Yet many, many people think they might be able to stop their sin before they come to Christ. But this is a lesson to them, that no matter how sinful you are, Christ can save you. And okay, you fire 73, Acts chapter 9. You be can't be a friend of Saul. A kwanya, a radi faso, a jenim kwa. Now, that Saul, he kwanya a faso jenim kwa, said he came from Acts. Or you will be a na or time a kisophony ye. A kwan kwa a faso jenim kwa, na or kwa tata omo, or kwa chioma ba, Jerusalem, a kwemuna yesu yin in huadi chenu. Ah, and then the nam swa, a maunya, and kwanji. It is not just the American and says, ah, I say me a yebekan, a yema omwa, omwa jedi, no more omuni yina. Well, why did you know? I quite prefer to be a show on so a brave woman, you say, would you be any ampa, not say a yampa? Well, when you know, not a mow, a show on crime, say, said the OCA, the boy of Fubia, said the Utibiana, and why debating me, Ajo. Now, it is very, very important for everyone to make sure that they are right before God. Because there are so many wrong notions that goes around. Especially when it comes to being born again. Many, many people think that they are born again, and yet they have never experienced anything from Christ. Yet, I don't know how, why, but they believe that they are born again. I'm saying this because I read of an article in the Christian Post, and what they were saying is that a research was made in the U.S. and about one-third of Americans, they identify themselves as they are born again. Yet they don't even go to church. They have never sought forgiveness of their sins or whatever, and yet they believe that they are born again. This is a research that was done in America. And then they said, some people also think that any religion is good. It's not only Christianity. Yet we know that our Lord said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. So we know that we can only go to God through our Lord and Savior. And being born again, we were born in sin because of Adam. We must be born again in Christ. And yet people do not know all this, and yet they believe that they are born again. And according to the survey, nearly half of these people believe in abortion. They think abortion must be allowed. People who claim they are born again, and yet they think that abortion must be allowed. So you see, it's very, very important that we learn these things and know our stand before God. So we have to learn to know what constitutes a conversion, when we say somebody is converted, what exactly does it mean? The American is there. Any public brain, I'm almost here. I'm out of the floor. And someone pass or be a minim baby. I'm going to ask out of the free. And someone did you say, I'm not to a call a same can over 3 years. My penny be according to Kasai. Minim Kasai, you know, me see almost have a question be or say, or any of you say, when you be a bonny be a if you overco heavy. Or any of you say, I'm not going to do so into overco heavy. This is a man I was talking to just yesterday down here, and he tells me that he knows he hasn't done anybody any wrong. He follows the laws of God, and therefore he will go to heaven. But then the brother that I was with started telling him about Nicodemus. See, people always think of the big sins. They don't talk about the sins of the heart, which is the most important. The big sins, it is easy. Drunkenness, immorality, it's easy to stop them. But how about the sins of the heart? The heart must be changed. The heart is not right before God. This heart must be changed before we can have a relationship with God. But a lot of people don't know this. So it's very, very important that we talk about this conversion. Now let's talk about this Saul. This man Saul, who later on became Apostle Paul. Many people, especially theologians, have said that this is the most important event in the history of the church after Pentecost. They think that what happened to Paul is the most important event in the history of the church after Pentecost. And some also say that it is secondary to the resurrection of Christ as the most convincing proof of the truth of the Christian faith. Apostle Paul, the Etonon, if you see a Samoa, a near power, a sorry, Abakose Munina, if you see a woo ye, yes, a woo sorry, and if you are. And only idea of one of my excesses, yes, we are sorry, no, aye, and great. See, people think that this is a proof. What happened to Paul is a proof that the Christian church is the true church. If this man who was opponent, a very strong person who opposed the Christians, killing them and persecuting them, could change all of a sudden, and I think Paul preached more than Christ, isn't it? He preached more than all the apostles. When we talk about all the epistles written by this Paul, and from the story we read, Christ said, "He is my chosen vessel." Another proof that salvation is only by grace alone. Nobody on their own can save themselves. He said, "He is my chosen vessel." See? So, all what Paul was doing in the past, God knew he was going to save him one day, and he will become a true disciple, a true advocate of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if this Saul was saved, then really we need some kind of explanation. Because why should he go through all these things? And we saw the suffering that he went through, this Apostle Paul. Because God had already said that I will show him many things that he will have to suffer for my name's sake. So let's see a few lessons that we can learn from this account. As I said earlier on, God is able to convert the most unlikely of sinners. So don't think you are beyond conversion. God is able to convert the most unlikely of sinners. Yeah, Adisuya, you been here every sir, Saul, as we know. Now the Edika Yeshuani said, "Everybody bet me I give a and found it obony away. Obi cra will be able to say or be young can or bet me a young. So over your solar be a chest a bajan. Obi a wokum a piece of war. I need to quite an hour cut at Damascus one. And so rather genu. As well yen quadia won a day bonny pan a womb I would remember a radio so any young. So God is able to convert the most unlikely of sinners. Because if we talk about humanly speaking, nobody would have thought that Saul would be saved. It would be like saying that in those days, Saddam Hussein could be converted and begin to preach to the Arabs. That's how it was. People who hated Christ. Saul was one of them. He hated Christ and all his people, and yet he was saved. So really, humanly speaking, there's no human explanation that will be able to convince anybody about Saul's conversion. And yet, it happened. And it's not only Saul. That is with all of us. Every conversion is a wonder. Every conversion is a wonder. You can imagine, sometimes when you are converted and you look back at your life, your former life, that's where you really understand what conversion is. Some of the things that you were doing that even you feel ashamed to mention, and yet you were doing them. So it shows your state at that time and then your state now. The American say any pen and the Paul in Ojin in Kwenya. And he said, if Saddam Hussein, I'm sure someone in Amun Saddam Hussein. So they now chili a piece of all. Now you better say no. I feel the old moon will preach Jesus as him, actually Arab form. Sana saw the same idea. And I make us say, and Sano, a idea everyone will hear, and yes, all the end of you. You're crying in Pesas, will be a young woman, but you what's not see if you be brave. I hear this, but instead of OPB, and one day pay. Go back to Tina, go past him, go back to gospel, no, never see our coma, nor be any papa. It's amazing, everyone. And so you're going to go on a bit in here. If you, I did a show on who he said, everybody bit me as a son Ubia, and Pahone or Bonnie Hawaii, and if you be a woman, but he bit me as a son. So we should know that God is able to do what we cannot imagine. Now, if you look at verse 1, we are told that Saul was still breathing threats and murder. He was really angry and threatening to go and murder the disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so his main aim was to eradicate followers of Jesus Christ from the earth. Before I said Obekohono, nobody can almost all done in Jerusalem. See, before Paul was going to Damascus, he had broken the church at Jerusalem, and now he was extending his wickedness to Damascus. And before then, they had also stoned Stephen to death. So you see how cruel this man was, and yet God was able to save him. Now, from the verse 1, you can see that he was so cruel that he was even after both men and women. He didn't care if he took fathers and their mothers or their children away or whatever. He didn't care. All he wanted to do was to eradicate the people of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he had such an intense hatred for him and his followers that he thought that by inflicting the harm that he was going to do them, he was doing it for God. That is the problem. Another problem about life. A lot of people believe in God the Almighty. It's Jesus Christ that is the controversy. Who he is and what he can do for us is the controversy. You see, Saul believed in God. So he thought all what he was doing it for God. He thought the Christians were preaching heresy. They were preaching something that was not true. He believed in God. He believed in Moses. And yet he didn't understand Christ. And so it is in our days now. Muslims think Muhammad is the way. They think they also believe in God. But when they come to Christ, no. Later they think they will tell you something different. Jehovah's Witnesses. They think they are, as the name goes, Jehovah's Witness. God. They don't think that Christ is equal with the Father, even though Christ said, "You will be my witnesses." Christ himself said that. So that is where the controversy is. People knowing that Christ is equal to the Father. Otherwise, how can he forgive sin? A lot of things are there to prove that he is the reason. And yet, people, and that is the same thing that Paul was doing. He taught. He was persecuting them for the sake of God. And we have a similar thing in the Old Testament. In Numbers 26, from verse 6 to 15. It's a long passage. I mean, later on you can read it for yourself. Here there was a man called Phinehas. And he had a zeal for God so much that they were preaching against people who were committing some sexual immoralities with the heathen. And he actually killed a couple at the same place where they were preaching. And he thought he was doing that for God. He had a zeal. Even though what he did, in a way, he shouldn't take life. But it was the same thing they were preaching about, and the man and the woman were doing that same thing. So he was so angry that he killed him. And that is exactly what Paul is doing here. Paul thought he was killing the people for Christ. And I'm sure the Arabs, when they say jihad or all those things, they think they are doing it for God. Anybody who does not follow Muhammad is also like a heretic. And that's what Paul was thinking. In verse 3, we are told that as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shine ran about him a light from heaven. And then verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then Paul, he was confused and he was shocked. And then he replied in verse 5, who, look at what he said, who art thou, Lord? Why didn't he just say, who art thou? Or who are you? I said, who art thou? So he knew that the voice that he was hearing was from God. He said, who art thou, Lord? So he knew that it was God who was speaking, but he wasn't prepared to accept what he heard later on. When he said, I am Jesus, whom thou art persecuting. He knew God. I didn't know Christ. Friends, this is a very serious thing. Without Christ, no one can go to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes except by him. So here you see, he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And without a proper knowledge of Christ, it can be a hindrance to anyone's salvation. At the same time, we saw that Paul, he saw a glimpse of the glory of Christ. In verse 17 to and then 27, you see that he saw a glimpse of the glory of Christ. And then the brightness caused him to go blind for 3 days. And whilst he was in that state, the Lord continued to speak to him and said, go into the city where it will be told what you must do. And you know how God, Christ healed him. Christ would have healed him without sending Ananias, because he had the power to do everything. But he sent him to Ananias. Ananias, nobody knows about Ananias. This is the only place that he's mentioned. And yet, Paul was sent to this man that he would be healed. And Paul went in obedience, Ananias went in obedience to the Lord, and then he healed him. And so, this is the story of Saul, the greatest missionary on earth. And Paul was also a learned man, a theologian. He studied under Gamaliel, a very powerful man. So he knew their system of scriptures, but he didn't know about Christ. So we can also learn that salvation does not depend on the fallen will of man. And like I was saying about this man yesterday, when I told him that what he thinks is his personal thought, is what he thinks personally. Meanwhile, he should know that he's a fallen creature. So he's corrupt. So his thinking, his everything is also corrupt about him. So he can't rely on what he thinks to be the way to heaven. He has to rely on what the Bible says. And the Bible here proves that no one can be saved on their own except the sovereign will and power of God. That's what we call salvation by grace. The one who wrote that amazing grace, John Newton, was a sinner, a slave trader, and yet look at the hymn that he wrote after his conversion. So we can see that salvation does not depend on the fallen will of man, but on the sovereign will and power of God. So we can see from this Paul's experience that everything of Paul came from God. It's not even like Paul himself attended church for some time and then he was convinced that Christ is the Messiah and then he confessed his sins. And look at how he was saved. He played no part. He wasn't searching for God for salvation. Because he himself, if you go to Philippians 3 verse 5, when he was describing himself, he said, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. You see, he was describing himself, even though he was a descendant of Benjamin, he's from Israel and all those things. He never mentioned that he is a chosen man of God. He was boasting with the Pharisee system. He said, touching the law, a Pharisee. Because at that time, he thought that Pharisees were the ones who knew the laws of God. And he, because he was a Pharisee, he was on top of the laws of that time. The Yeshua Baba found, he said, Enkwajie enyina enipa ahodin so. Enkwajie enyina enyina adon so. Adon is a gift. Free. Nobody can work for it. So salvation is not from any man, but rather from God himself. It's a gift from God. Because here we see that the Lord did not appear to Saul and plead that, oh Saul, will you please come to be my disciple or for me to be your savior? No. He said, I will show you what you must do for you to be saved. So you see how the Lord humbled him. He became blind. And that's how conversion is. For God to convert you, he strips you naked. He strips you down so that you humble yourself before you become a disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse 15, we are told that Saul, God said, he is my chosen instrument or chosen vessel to fulfill a very definite task. He mentioned it. He said, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. And then in verse 16, he said, God ordained that Saul will suffer much for his sake. He said he will suffer for his sake. So it is not all about whether Saul will exercise his free gift, or God had it all planned. And that is so with everyone. That is why we believe in election. Election is one of the doctrines of the reform. So here, Paul was part of the people elected. That's why he said, I have chosen him to be a vessel. So it is not anyone's free will that will save him, but it is only the grace of God. In Romans 9, verse 15, Paul said, so then, it is not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is all by God's mercy that we are all saved. Another lesson that we learn is also that salvation does not depend on good works, but rather on God's grace, God's free grace. God did not choose Paul because there was anything good in him, or he knew that, oh, because this man, if I choose him, it is of his own grace. He decides whom he wants to call, and nobody can question God. That's why Paul said, can the clay ask the potter, why did you make me so? He decided what he must do. And this is what we can see here. He has chosen Paul right from the beginning of creation. So salvation, the Bible is clear that it depends on anything, not on anything on earth. Then if it's on earth, then no one will be saved. As I've already said, no one can be saved. We are all born in sin. It is only by the grace of God that we can be saved. Romans 3 verse 10 also says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Then Romans 8 verse 8 is saying that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the flesh are those who are born and have not been born again, who were born in Adam. He said they cannot please God. There's nothing they can do to please God. Salvation hangs on the two pillars, faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. But the problem is that the natural man cannot believe in Christ or repent of his sins unless it is granted him. If you want to read more, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, Philippians 1, verse 29. They all talk about this. That we even the repentance, the faith and repentance is all the gift of God. We can never repent on our own. That's what he said. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins and then points us to Christ. And we plead for pardon and forgiveness. The American accompanying said, Bible may actually say, Pastor, and you be a way in Munti. And the Nya and Paji, the morning in Aye, it was Nakasano, the Homo Bro, and in Adam, it's Tino or Mayenya and Quan. Namaka and Quanji in Ajina, GDA, any Ajin Sakra, faith and repentance. And all this can only be given to you by God, because Bible me a tear says, or say, Ubia, your man, our from own Timmy, and Yadi, a vessel on a mean. Those who are in the flesh cannot. Please God. What you mean, idea? A vessel on your coupon. I said, you are not a side of the Christian answer. He been a cousin here for a sermon. And the change of heart takes place instantly. Sir, at Masitan, a idea is see at once. You see, salvation is an event, it happens instantly. Then we go to sanctification. That's why we have justification and sanctification. You are justified the moment you believe and you confess your sin. And then you go to sanctification, which is a process which will take all your life on this earth. So, salvation is an event. Justification, which is the same as salvation, is an event. But sanctification is a process. So when God converts a sinner, then you see that it is the sanctification that will show the mark of your conversion. There must be some mark. The last time I had the opportunity, I was talking about mark of true conversion. So when you are saved, then through your sanctification, there will be mark of your true conversion. Let me just go through a few of them here to become as a sign of our conversion. First, as I said, is your conviction of sin. Believing that you are a sinner. Accepting that you are a sinner. And then you can't do anything about your sin. You need only Christ to forgive you. So your conviction of sin. Before a man becomes a sinner, he must first see himself as a sinner. That's why God was asking Saul, Christ was asking Saul, why are you persecuting me? That was his sin. You see, you must know your sin. Why are you persecuting me? And we saw how he called his name twice. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So, before a man becomes a sinner, he must first set himself as a sinner. He must know that he is a sinner. The same way as when Christ was talking to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, or Simon, Simon, or Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It means how Christ meant it when he called Paul. But the question that the Lord was trying to gain from Paul, he wanted him to consider what he was doing. That is what it is also. We also have to consider our sins by nature, our sins by choice. We must bring all before God before we can really have salvation. So the same with all Christians, all sinners. We have to understand, believe that we are sinners, confess our sins, and then our sins will be forgiven us. And we also learned that when he had this traumatic revelation, for 3 days he wasn't eating or drinking. And I'm not sure he was saying he was fasting because of these things. I'm sure all of us, sometimes when we lose a loved one, we don't even have appetite to eat. This is what happened to Paul. When he saw his state before God, before Christ, he didn't have any appetite to eat. So for the first 3 days, he ate nothing or drank nothing. And so there's no truly born-again person who lacks a growing sense of his own sinfulness. Anybody who does not think or believe in his own sinfulness can never say that he's born again. The closer we walk in the light, the more that light reveals our dirtiness and then our sinful hearts. We also see humbling from our pride as another sign of being born again. We are humbled from our pride. And as I've always said, and we all know, pride is the root of all sins. Ahomaso. The Dikan is a bed say yebenya ahombrasie efri ahomaso. Ahomaso and abonini na ijinaso. Ahomaso and ema Satan for challenge on Yakupon. Ahomaso and ema demons in ebay. It's ahomaso a something serious. And we must fight it every day in our lives. Otherwise, it will be difficult for you to accept Christ as your Lord. You may accept Him as your Savior, but as your Lord, if you are proud, not only Christ, even you don't want to be under authority, either in your church, in your organization, wherever you are, if there's pride in you, you will find it difficult to submit to authority. Sa ahomaso ise e wo mu na se wa nyen fi wo mu a e be den se wo ba gele se Yesu ye o nyame wo ba gele se wo ye wadi nkwa enu nkwa na ba gele di na wo yin se o sa ye wo nyame a o ne se se wo hye na fe de o be ka na se se wo ye because wo ye nipa dia de o ka na se se wo ye. And so pride, we must be humble from our pride. When Saul was going, he was going with authority, with pride. He was going to arrest the people and bring them, and they would do all what that they wanted to do to them. And when he was going, he was independent and he was strong. Afterwards, when Christ appeared to him and he fell down and he got up, he was going depending on people. He could not walk. He was weak. He could not see anything. You see how we humble ourselves. He was humbled by Christ. In the same way, we must be humbled from our pride before we have a relationship with God. If that thing had not happened to Paul, he was going with pride, arrogance, that he was going to do what he wanted to do. And like I said, Christ used Ananias, who was a simple believer, to teach Saul about humility. After that time, I don't think even if Saul met Ananias on the street and Ananias greeted him, he would respond. Because you see them as some riffraffs. But now this is the same person. Through him, you can have sight. And it is intentional for Christ to do that so that he will humble Paul. The American said, Paul, all corner Damascus, you know, not the Ahumaswane echo, Okutakrata from Ahimfie and all the echo until all war. The people in the moon said, or for your professor, or no one ever called King Naoko. Or whom sound like you, we are, I feel you, or no one puts anything to me, and you put the sun and sana, you did not echo. Anna, Yakubonso, no, and Cafe Honano, or Jenna, or Smile will be a friend, and Ananias, apart from Hano, whom you deal about the womb, be you. So he was a simple believer, somebody who just believed in Christ. He was the one that Christ sent to go and help this man. And the reason was to teach him humility, that you need to be humble before you can come to God. So we need that humility. And humility is not all optional. All who truly are saved will freely acknowledge their sinfulness. And once you acknowledge it, it makes you humble. Then, obedience to the Lordship of Christ. So, obedience to Jesus, you will know me. And you saw your wajim kwangwa. I want to say, bro, or press on, or say, who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? O Ophania, a rade. Evan Unya answered. The immediate answer was that, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted, whom you are persecuting. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. So Saul, right there, he realized that Christ was alive from the dead. He saw that Christ that he had been persecuting was alive. And all his followers, what they were saying was true. Right from there, Paul began to understand that Christ was alive and all what were being said about him were true. And he also saw that Jesus was not only alive, but also exalted at the throne of God. For he saw his glory. The glory was shown to him. So he saw how Christ was exalted at the throne of God in heaven. And Paul, before then, they didn't believe. They were saying that Christ was stolen. He didn't resurrect on his own. He was a false prophet. He was this. But really, now Paul saw that how Christ came back from life to death was the true Messiah on this earth. Then Christ said, "Get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." You see, Paul here, or Saul, they did not say that I will accept you as a savior, but not accept you as God. As, like I said, people do today. Right there, all what he saw made him realize that Christ is the Lord, and he is the only one that we must follow. Then we also saw from this account that from spiritual blindness to spiritual sight, Paul began the physically seeing, but spiritually he was blind. He could see everything, but spiritually he was blind. Then in the end, he became physically blind and then seeing spiritually. You see how conversion works. So what he formerly thought that he saw is no longer what he was seeing now. What he formerly did not see is what he was seeing now. What was formerly a gain to him was now lost. What was formerly despised, he now cherished. You see how he despised Christ and his followers. Now we see how he was preaching about Christ, how he was witnessing that Christ is indeed the true Messiah. So the same as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so the same way Saul was 3 days and 3 nights in the dark. And when the scales fell from his eyes, he saw everything in a new light. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ. He saw all these things. And that's what it is for every truly converted person. You can say that I once thought that I knew, but I was blind. Now, by God's grace, I see. That is what it is. That's why I said, when you are converted and you look back at your life, you can really understand that you were blind. Because the things that you were doing at that time are things that you feel start to even mention now. The American is there. Saul, you know, na o free hum any fra echo hum se unya enia uhuna de. All call Damascus, no, not uhuna de, or one any of you who are there, so soon money de, none any fra. All corner yesu, ever yin in the moody echelon. A failure, on the honor of a failure, or sign. They need every fry physically, but when you're home, who any be a failure of a tear fear of a tea yes, was it say yes, you need Ajinkano and Pa and Sana Tiama Ubia Ubena Ajinka because the end canino number be seven and so send a mean who said the Mihun and the Cray. They say the Mihun and a Yen Cray, meaning every Radi Adomiti. And also, we talk about seeking the Lord in prayer in verse 11. The Lord told Ananias and said, "Behold, he prayed. Behold, or see, the man Saul is praying." And we know that Saul was a Pharisee. So I'm sure before this time, before this incident, he prayed. He will often pray. But now he is praying. For the first time, he is really praying. Those days, they just recite some rituals and they thought it was prayer. And in these days, it's the same thing. When you go to some church, even now, people just recite the Lord's Prayer. But here you can see that he said he is praying. He's praying seriously. And what was he praying about? He prays seeking God, sincerely seeking God. And that's how we also come to Christ. You can't come to Christ just on your own. You have to pray. Pray for pardon and forgiveness of your sins afresh, and ask him to come and live in you. So here, seeking the Lord in prayer is also part of the way we are converted. And we saw Paul, he was praying, as the man said. What was he praying about? He was seeking for God's forgiveness for the many terrible things that he has done and he continues to do. And he was also praying for God's guidance for what he should be doing next. You know, he asked him, "Why do you want me to do next?" It's another thing that will come across very soon. He was asking God to guide him and show him what he was to do. And he was seeking God's revelation so that he could easily know him, so that he would know God and Jesus Christ whom he had sent. John 17, verse 3. So every converted person begins to pray in the true sense of the word of prayer. For the first time, you come. That's why I say that the only prayer that Christ listens from a sinner is a prayer for forgiveness of their sins. Sometimes he may pray for other things and he may give you. It's all to prove that he is there. It's not that he's happy with your life. If you have not been born again and you pray for God, God may sometimes grant you your heart's request. But the reason will be that then you will know him and come to him. The American said, What does he do for God? He was praying for God's guidance. And then he was praying for God to reveal himself so that he would know him well and Jesus Christ as he is. The next thing we learn is fellowship with the Lord's people. Say, Paul, So we see fellowship with the lost people is also a sign of a true conversion. You are not converted. The truly converted person seeks fellowship with the lost people. So, like I said, this Paul, he is now under Ananias, the man who was just a simple believer. And you know when Ananias went to Paul, he said, "Brother Saul," you saw how he addressed him, "brother." Now he is a brother. Before then, they fear him, he was their enemy. But now he called him Brother Saul. And I'm sure Saul would have been so surprised to hear the man calling him brother. Because before then, he was a public enemy. They all feared him. He was the number one enemy of the church. But after God transformed him, after his conversion, he immediately became Brother Saul. And one reason that God sent Ananias rather than healing Saul directly was that to answer to his prayers so that he would see that he would begin to associate himself with the people and see that in Christianity we are equal. No one is above the other. Whether you are a preacher or whoever, we are all one before God. And that is what God wanted Paul to see. Send Ananias, a common person, just an ordinary believer, to go and heal him. And it's very interesting to see how they were addressed in those days. They said, "Members of the way." Members of the way. And that's this the way is can be found in the book of Acts. So many areas, chapter 9, verse 2, 19, verse 9, 23, 22, verse 3, so many areas that they call them the way. And Christ said, "I am the way, the truth." So that was the way to God. So it showed that Christ is the only way to God. In verses 1 and 10, they are called disciples, which means followers or learners. When we see somebody is a disciple, he's a follower of the person or a learner of that person. And then in verse 13, they are saints or holy ones. They are called saints or holy ones. So every believer is a saint and is a holy one. We don't have people who are holy. In a church, you can't say this group, they are holy. The other people, they are not holy. No. Once you have believed and you are converted, you are a holy. So here we see that the terms disciples, holy ones, and the rest. And in verse 14, they are called those who call upon your name. Those who call upon the name of Christ. You see, it shows our dependence on God in prayer. And then in verse 17, they are called brothers. Like I said, we are all equal before God. The American is there, Apostle Paul, and Sana Obe Fasa and Yemunyano. Now we almost time to get see a pa. And so I said, yeah, bra, yes, smart, and I said, oh, Uncle Nohon, Uncle, we do one offense, but I saw offend brother. Because I feel in Yakupon asked man when he changed, I mean, I was away, or no, so Nimia. So he called him Brother Paul. And I make us say, yeah, you know, so no, so be I ever convert to one, you're afraid, maybe a fair disciple. Disciples, a chief, Omoa, Nechi, before, and I'm a fearful. Omoa, Mudin, the chief, and I say, Omoa, Omusiano, but we didn't see a fair Omo, saint, or holy one, in our chest, I want to fall, Omoa, Omoati, Omoa, Yaki, Omo. And then in verse 14, I see those who call upon your name. Omoa, Omobodin. Those who call upon your name. You see, we can never pray without calling on the name of Jesus Christ. So those people, that was what they called. And then in verse 16, verse 17, from brothers, and Nyanom. And make us say, your back is Omoa, in Naya, they all preach you, they all pray for help. The Obia Pacha will play no, a na, naeva, Yamianim, Obia Cheney, Salana, Yankobes or Chile, call, and Tin of Sman, a man who called, and I have an answer, so no uncle now will be in any man. And then Jesus said, son, you have been persecuting me. So you see, by persecuting the church, he was persecuting Christ himself. He was the head of the body of the church. So every converted person loves the fellowship of the saints because we are members of one other and of one exalted head. Our Christ is our head. We are all one. This is the lesson that they were teaching Apostle Paul. And now we also learn that a life under the power and control of the Holy Spirit. When you are converted, you are under the power and control of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, Ananias told Saul that the Lord has sent him, not only so that he will receive again his sight, but also that he may be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have said here again and again that the moment you are converted, the moment you are born again, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes to live in you so that you can never, the devil can never pull you back. And this is what we are seeing here. Ananias went there so that Paul will know that he came to save him from his sight, and also to have the Holy Spirit working in him. So, as we come to conclusion, let me quote what 1 Timothy 1 verse 16 says. What Apostle Paul says, he said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them, who should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. See, Paul himself is saying that he was shown mercy, and the purpose of being shown the mercy so that he will also make the light known among all the people. So, in summary, the conversion of Paul first is an example of the fact that none has gone too far for God's mighty power to save. No one can say that for me, I'm so much a sinner that I don't think God can save me. If he could save Paul, he could save you, no matter how sinful you are, no matter how far you have gone, how deep you have gone into sin, the Lord can save you. Another example is that God can do what he takes hold of in a life, what God can do, what God can use us to do in reality. That's what he's saying. When he takes hold of us, what he can use it for. As I said, Paul, the public enemy number one, became the most powerful, the the famous preacher of the gospel. So do you know what God will use you for? Do you know what God intended for your life? You can only know it when you are converted. You can never, never know what God wants you to do until you are converted. It's also an example to encourage us to pray and then to share with every sinner, no matter how wicked the person is. Another example for Paul's conversion is that we should also pray and share with every sinner. If people that have come into your midst and sometimes you see that they are not saved, what do you do? Pray for that person and continue to share the gospel with that person. It's also an example for us to commit our lives afresh to whatever purpose God has given us to do in His kingdom. Even if you are saved, it is still an example that you commit your life to Christ afresh to be used for the purpose for which He called you. Now, the mechanism says, Mediba Eriano, and I'm assuming the 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 16, as some of Paul, a kind. Paul, but what you say, Onya, mercy, Onya Kupon, Ehumobro. Now, did you know Yahumobro? Said the Bayah, I'm not so bitten, I can't come not say, and go for. And you know, example, you hear a few money say, Obey any horn of one, or the bonnet so much in your phone to me, and you free the bonnet. Obey any horse I will be asking. And I've been to know, as I said, the young phone, a swim one, a dear obey to me, the eye. The soul are no yet any men. I said, yes, so, yeah, come what can you ask him, pa, eh, or no. And you want to come with me, the eye, a I chance that they are away. I just don't know home man answer. The next thing is also, Paul can tell me 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 15. You see, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The Apostle of Ochen is there. Yes, so we have to examine ourselves to be sure of our true conversion. We can have the same righteousness right this morning. The thing that Paul went through and he became the most powerful preacher, we can have it right now if you want it. Because I've said that salvation is an event. It happens at once. So we can have it right now. Also know that you can never work your own soul to salvation. You can never be good enough. The same thing. And I happen to know, as you know, to me, and Casa and your home. Wouldn't to me, yes, sir. He said, So, wouldn't to me, yes, papa, you know. Ah, ever so, Yakupon, you obey Bian. What kind of other 64 verse 4? I will say, oh, papa, your grand, as you say, and my machine, I will say, your good words are like filthy rags before God. So you only need Christ. It's as simple as that. You can never, never please God, no matter how you try to do. If you come to Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, and he rose from the dead, and is alive right now, as he showed to Paul, and then called on his name, and you'll be saved. And if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, like I said, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship between you and Christ. And you can actually know him, Christ, right now. You can know him, you can encounter him, you can have that same Damascus experience right now where you are sitting, if you pray
and you commit your life to him. The American is there. And they are no as some are too poor to see out the way. Also bet me up by your company, Abbasampayan, and your hoops by you. Because you were free, so I could be a woman. I did be a young dear, but so they are with me, and obey you were free. No, I'm all up by the CNU, Papa, or do by a juma. It was a yaki. And I become the make up a man or choice, him 4 to 10, John Newton. No, only an almost as a talk. Slaves, you know, and quite tough one. Oh, it's a body for papa, and so everybody in if he's such a young. I'm afraid the woman and all more cutting against the star and quite. I'm not sure, amazing grace. And if people like John Newton, like Paul, could be saved, why not you? So, wherever you are this morning, I want you to come before Christ, commit your life to him, tell him that you are a sinner, you want him to change your life and give you a new life, and you see wonderful things in your life. You see answers to your prayers. You see true guidance. You see true direction in your life in this world.